So we're looking at this theme of zeal, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But as you know, I'm kind of a little bit new here still. I've been here a year and a half. And I recently, because I kind of feel like I'm adapting well to the new culture here. You know, recently I went back to England and I came back and I was like, whoa, this is different. And you might kind of say, well, you know, it's hardly Belgium, or, you know, it's not Burkina Faso. This is just the other side of the water. How is it different in culture? Well, I suppose apart from the flags, there's kind of things that people say. So in England, the weather, it was absolutely boiling hot. And we were like, oh, we are boiling here. As if we were in Northern Ireland, we'd say we're roasting. And we went to Clacton-on-Sea, and there's this pier, and you've got these arcade machines where you just feed loads of money in. And Henry really wanted this green frog thing with, you know, the crane that goes down. And so I had a whole load of 50p's feeding them in and didn't get it. And I got back home and looked on YouTube to find out why I didn't get it. And they said, oh, the machine's set in a certain way that you have to put a whole load of money in and then it... So I was really annoyed. Well, in Northern Ireland, you would say he was raging. And then my folks, they really like their cup of tea. Like, we'd like a cuppa. As Northern Ireland, apparently you wet the tea. Is that right? There's a couple I could do with a bit of help with. Not a titter of wit. Can anyone tell me what that means? Exactly. Very little or no sense, apparently. I learned that from a tea towel. Hopefully what I'm going to say is going to be, you know, have some sense. And the other one, the last one, keep a lit. What's that one about? Keep at it, yeah? Persist, keep your foot on the throttle. And so the example, say for example, some of the madmen went go-karting, and apparently the rumour is that Mervyn Cordner is a legend on the go-kart, and apparently he didn't take his foot off the pedal the whole way round. So this is, how do we keep our faith lit? How do we keep going when it gets tough? You know, sometimes you get really exhausted, and when we're emotionally and physically exhausted, sometimes that can have an impact on how we view God and our faith. Sometimes things just don't make sense. You know, you might turn up the Bible and go, what is that about? Or sometimes our faith might get cold. So how do we keep our foot on the accelerator? And so this is what we're going to look at today. And the Apostle Paul says this, as we've read, in Romans 12, verse 11, he says this, never be lacking in zeal. And the idea of what he's trying to say is don't lose your earnest drive, that diligence. It's kind of like in your relationship with God, in your following of God, in your service of God, don't lose that earnest drive that... we talked about earnest this morning, didn't we? that sweaty drive, just to keep going. Don't lose it. Because it's so easy. Sometimes we can have a mentality where we're going, I'm just going to survive the next day. If I can get through the next day, I'm just going to survive. And that's when we're exhausted. But here the encouragement is to say, actually, bring it on. Bring on the next day. I'm going to have that zeal, that encouragement, that urge to keep a lit. And so how does that happen? You know, sometimes when we're doing a new thing, it's quite exciting. We have a strong sense of drive when we're planning something that's brand new, because you can just sort of see this wonderful thing's going to happen in the future. And I suppose it was about 12 years ago, I had this genius idea, I thought at the time, to write a book. And so I was really, really excited when I began as a youth worker. I was writing a book with youth work sessions in. I was going to go all the way through the Bible, from Adam and Eve, all the way through to the end, whoever that is, Timothy or someone. And so when I first wrote my first session, I was very excited. I had a zeal for that. And I was like, yes, this is amazing. And then there was other times when I'd built up quite a collection of sessions and I was like, this is so good, I'm going to have to put this on a USB, I'm going to have to back it up. What happens if my computer fails? And I was just really excited about it. And then when I finally finished it and it had to be proofread, I was very, very excited, you know, sent it off to my parents to have a look. And then doing the front cover, a friend of mine had done a design and then I kind of tweaked it quite a bit, and that was so exciting. You just have this zeal and you just want to get to it, and you know, whenever you've got a moment, you just want to get on with it. But then there was tough times, like 4 years into the project, and I was like, oh, man, I just can't carry this on. And I stopped for quite some time. And when I was actually doing the proofreading, that was not so exciting. Although the book is good, you know, looking at all the little letters and everything and trying to do that, oh my goodness. And then the whole daunting task of getting people to actually find out about the book, it was tough. And sometimes that can be the same with our Christian faith, where we have this excitement, we respond to Jesus, and there's just this zeal that comes because we're a new Christian and he's done something wonderful in our life. Maybe you've seen like the power of healing, or somebody has given a word to you, you feel so encouraged about, and that really spurs you on, and you've got that zeal. But then there's other times when, you know, you might find it difficult to struggle to understand situations and circumstances that you're going through. And maybe life is weighing on you and it's having a struggle. So how do you keep her lit? How are you never lacking in zeal? How do you keep your spiritual fervor? He goes on. He says, after never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. And this phrase, after the earnest drive and effort, takes the word zesso, boil hot. And it's talking about having a spiritual passion that comes from the power of God. That is, it's like he's saying, allow yourself to be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. And so we've got two things coming together, where we've got our earnest desire, which then, say for example, we really want, we're hungering after God, and then we come into contact with God because of this hunger and this kind of sweaty prayer thing going on, and then the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. But sometimes it's the other way around, and God just graciously puts his fire within us, and that really spurs us on, and we are not lacking in spiritual fervor anymore. There's a church in Sunderland, there was a revival in Wales, the Welsh revival, but it also happened in Sunderland as well, around about the early 1900s, with this vicar called Alexander Boddy. And I went to visit the church just to have a look at the place where God poured out his spirit. And in the wall there's this stone, and it says this, it says, when the fire of the Lord fell, it burned up the debt. And it was just saying about that moment when the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit came upon the congregation, they were so changed that it changed their mindset in so many ways, to giving and all sorts of things. There, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in, there's this impartation, and a passion is just like whoosh, comes out from within that you didn't know was there, because he's starting to fire that inner zeal. People are changed when the fire of God, where God imparts something outside of us, it's God, the Holy Spirit, coming and infusing in our spirit a passion, a life, and a drive, and an earnest desire for the fire. And there's this verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, where it says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's the same word, but it's taking this passion within us, this hunger, this drive, and God kind of comes and meets it with his fire. And I suppose when I was young, I had this earnest desire. When I was in my senior school, we was given a project where we had to read books, like loads of books. It was like a sponsored thing, the more books you get and stuff. So I decided that I was going to read Christian books. And I thought, I want to discover more about God and the things that he's done in people's lives. And so I thought, what better subject to look at than the subject of revival? So I got loads of books on revival that my dad had, and some friends, you know, the Indonesian revival, the Welsh revival, the stuff that happened in the Hebrides, and, you know, Duncan Campbell, who came over to Northern Ireland as well. And it was just incredible, because I started to see that when the power and the fire of God came and met with a congregation, they were changed, and stuff happened outside. Whoever they came into contact with, those people were changed as well, because God was doing something that man couldn't. It was the fire of God infusing them. And so one of these people who lent me these books, this guy is a Welsh guy, and I met up with him one day and said, well, Reg, his name, would you please pray for me, because I really want the Holy Spirit to kind of do the same thing as he did in these books. And so we had a little discussion about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and that, and he says, okay, I'll pray for you. So we're just sitting one evening in his lounge. He's sitting over the other side of the room. And then he just starts to pray. And he prays and he prays and he prays. And he's, I can't remember what he prayed, but I can remember what I felt. Because at that moment, I just felt this blanket of power just kind of rest upon me. And I kind of looked up and there's nothing there. It's just this blanket. And then all of a sudden, I felt this burning fire, this just real intense fire right within my heart. And I could just sense at that moment that God was doing a work where his power was coming in and touching my spirit and making me kind of fired up for the things that he had purpose for me to do. And so there's this picture of a fire. I've set a lot of fires in my time, all legally done, you know, campfires and things. And one thing about with a fire is that you have to set your sticks right. You know, obviously if you've been in the BB, you know that as well. Set your sticks right, and then you've got to add the right bit of kindling. And once you've started that fire, it's not like switching a switch on. You've got to keep your attention on that fire. You've got to keep tending that fire. You've got to make sure it's got enough fuel, but also you've got to breathe onto it, and that just really enables the fire just to catch onto some of the other areas. And so this idea of the fire of the Holy Spirit, allow yourself to be set on fire by the Holy Spirit, is that we can do some things to encourage his presence in our lives. So you've got this never be lacking in zeal comes into contact with us, with the spiritual fervour, and we can actually encourage his presence in our lives. Worshipping is something that really encourages his presence in our lives. Spending time just waiting on him and asking for the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh, that really encourages his presence in our lives. Because let me give you a picture of something. Now, Henry, he thinks he's going to be an inventor. He loves to invent games and things, and I think he is going to be an inventor. He's brilliant. And he's only 9 at the moment, but he loves his Rubik's Cubes and things. And there's one thing that inventors have as a holy grail, which they can never quite reach, is this perpetual motion device. And what it is, it's one that generates electricity. If somebody could invent a device that goes perpetual motion, but that can also generate electricity, wouldn't that be amazing? It would solve all our energy problems. There's a problem with this. I've looked on the internet, so it must be true. It's impossible because it actually violates the second law of thermodynamics. So it's subject to forces of gravity. So this picture you can see on there with those things, that will slow down eventually because the force of gravity and everything, it will actually slow down. And for us, our zeal and our drive will only get us so far. It won't keep us going. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit refreshing us, giving us fresh vision and fresh power in order that we can keep our faith lit. It's not just our effort, it's also his effort. And so we have to kind of factor that in when we're thinking about zeal. So maybe, hopefully you're not, but if you've ever experienced a time when you're lacking in zeal, the question is, what do I do? Have I lost it? Is it gone forever? How do I get that back? Thankfully, it's very easy. There's good news. God loves to re-fire our hearts. But I want to give you 3 questions just to kind of see about how do you get back on track. The first question is this: how do I get my zeal back? Is Jesus number one in your life? And this is a really important question because sometimes other things can take over our life or take over key spaces, moments in our life that mean that we're prioritizing other things over Jesus. Now, everybody's got a really, really busy life. But think about it like this, and I'm challenging myself with this as well. If I wake up and I've got 10 minutes in the morning, what is the first thing that I do? Do I go onto Facebook and do I kind of, you know, scroll down for 10 minutes and see what everybody's doing and things like that, loads of stuff that can be done? Or do I spend 10 minutes with Jesus? Do I kind of have a look and just read the Gospels and see what Jesus is doing today, see what Jesus is saying? Is he that priority in my life? Because it makes all the difference when you're, you know, traveling to work or something like that. You've got him speaking to you because you've actually got his word in your heart from the start. Otherwise, you've just got Facebook stuff in there that you probably forget on the way to work. But also, say for example, sometimes I get a night in to myself, which is really fantastic. I love to chill out just on my own, nobody around. You know, so if I've got my foot spa, Debs has got a foot spa, but I've never really used it. But imagine you're chilling out for a night, and you've got your foot spa, you've got your bar of chocolate, a cup of tea by the side, the football's on, or I don't know, some other thing, a soap or something. Is there any, what is Jesus going to play any part in that night? The other things are fine, the chocolate and the foot spa and the soaps are fine, but is there a space, is there a place where Jesus is going to take part in that night, where he can really, he wants to encourage us, he wants to refire our hearts, he wants to be number one. You know, because there's sometimes we've got things we're holding on to that he just wants to tell us about. You know, maybe there's an attitude that we're holding on to where Jesus wants to be the priority and say, look, do things my way. Release that attitude. You know, forgive that person. Is there an addiction? Is it, you know, bingo or is it computer games? That's one for me, computer games. I've actually uninstalled FIFA from the Nintendo Switch. It was a sad day, but it was meant to be. Because, you know, you can spend so much time on these things and you can lose so much of what God wants to do. Is Jesus number one? If we're lacking in zeal, how do we get that back? Ask yourself, is Jesus number one? Second question, might be a bit of an odd question. When did you last laugh? And, you know, our life is about joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't have that joy, then it's a valid question to say, when did you last laugh? Are you too stressed? Are you exhausted? Because if you are, it's probably best you don't ignore that, because it, you know, it's a bit of a downward spiral. It needs attention if you're stressed. So we need times of refreshing. We need to come back to a place with the Lord. I know everybody can't do this, but I had a half day retreat the other day where I just went down to Moira Park and I sat down on the grass, drew a few kind of pictures of trees and stuff whilst I was just thinking about what God was saying, read a few bits of the Bible, just kind of pottered around, went to the Fat Gherkin, had a cup of tea and, you know, read the Bible a bit more. And just in those times where you just shut everything out and just try and focus on God, those moments where he wants to refresh us, he wants to kind of give us his perspective on things, and then maybe we might kind of realize, actually, these are the things that I'm doing in my life that I maybe need to change. Sometimes that's not easy. But maybe we're carrying something and we say, Lord Jesus, I've just realized that I'm really overburdened by this and I really want you to take this off of me. And so in those times we can allow him to just restore us, because we want to get that zeal back, and sometimes going faster isn't going to do it. You just have to slow down for a moment. We need a fresh touch in his presence, because he says to us, don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer, petition and supplication, present your requests to God. And what will happen? His peace that passes all understanding will come and will guard our hearts, and so we can have that joy restored into our lives. So is Jesus number one? Have you had that moment of refreshing? When did you last laugh? Because I can tell that if I haven't laughed, then I know that something's wrong. Last question. Do you spend time being encouraged by other believers? So imagine this fire picture where you've got a coal fire and they're all together in the coal fire and all the coals are orange, they're blazing hot. And you can see that every one of them is kind of together and producing heat. But then if you got some tongs and if you took one of them out, you'd see that after a very short while, it would turn black again. It wouldn't be glowing orange. And you see, when we're together with other people encouraging us as a church, as a small group, as a prayer triplet, that enables us to be encouraged. It enables that zeal to come back, because we're starting to be encouraging one another. When we encourage someone, that really fires us up as well. But when we're also encouraged by somebody else, that makes such a difference. So in this bit that we read in Romans 12, where it says about serving and prophesying and things, you know, I've had the most encouraging times where somebody has just sought God for me and just said, I believe the Lord is saying this to you. And then you obviously consider it, you weigh it up, you think, is that God speaking to me? And it's just made such a difference in my life, because I've realized, okay, God knows me better than I know myself, and I've just realized that this is what he's doing in my life. And there's this fresh fire, you get this fresh vision and a fresh passion for the future. So I often try and find places where I can receive prayer, or if I know people who I can really trust who will just speak the word of God to me, specifically for me, I found that that enables me to be set on fire again. So is Jesus number one? Have you been refreshed? When did you last laugh? Do you spend time being encouraged by other believers? Because he really wants us to be on fire. That's what the Apostle Paul, he's not kind of saying, you need to be more zealous, you know, get with the program. He's saying, look, we need this love and this fire of God to carry on. But it's two things. We're intentional about doing something is Jesus number one, and all those other things. But are we allowing his presence to come and change us, that fire of God? Well, I think it's a good moment to pray and just to ask for his fire, his fresh fire to come and ignite our hearts afresh. So I'm just going to pray. You might like to just put your hands out in front of you as a sign to God that you just want him to move afresh in your life. And I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Father God, that you speak to the exhausted, that you are our fresh fire. You're the one who can renew and restore and revive. And so I pray in Jesus' name, if anybody here is feeling just completely exhausted, spiritually run down, that right now that you would pour out your spirit afresh on them, and that they would be running over with a fresh fire within them, with a fresh passion. And Father God, I pray for people who are just feeling like they really, really need to be encouraged. I pray that this week that you would speak your words of encouragement into their hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you're a loving Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. And so we come to you and ask in the name of Jesus, would you pour out a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit upon every person here? Come, Holy Spirit. Come with your holy fire to cleanse and ignite us with a passion for Jesus again. And Lord, would you give us a sensitivity to recognize what you are doing right now in this moment? Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us with that fire afresh. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. Just pray, consuming fire. Consume up the rubbish in our lives. We just say we want to devote to you, that you are a priority again. Lord, we hand over to you every burden that we have. And we pray, put us back in that fire. In Jesus' name.